is an inferred resource of 110 million tons of 0.5% total rare earth oxides. The beauty of Nora Share is that its composition out of the rare earths that are there, 52% of them are heavy rare earths. So the key ones are dysprosium and terbium, and clearly when we talk about rare earths, and since Donald Trump came to power, everybody's been talking about rare earths. But specifically with the state of geopolitics and the way that trade has been used as a weapon, and specifically the ability of China to restrict rare earth exports, it means that the conversations both in, say, North America now and Europe are around having your own strategic sources of supply.
Kurt Budge, Leading Edge Materials Corp. Good morning to you, or I should say good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Andy.
Thank you for coming on the show here. Let's get right to it. Tell me about Leading Edge Materials. What exactly do you guys do, and what are you guys looking for?
So we're a Canadian company. We're listed in Toronto and Stockholm. We're also traded in New York and Frankfurt. We've got portfolio of critical raw materials projects all located in the EU, specifically Sweden and Romania, and with a focus on heavy rare earths, natural graphite, and then polymetallics.
Polymetallics, interesting. Explain that to me. What's in
So our
so
exploration alliance in Romania is in a former uranium mining area, and but we've also got evidence of lead, zinc, copper, silver, and some gold.
got it. Okay, so you're really hitting all of the, if you would, all of the groups here. Tell me about, you said you're in what is the jurisdictions, if you would?
Sweden and Romania.
Sweden and Romania, and that's very interesting, actually. I'm familiar with Sweden, but tell all of our viewers and listeners about mining in Sweden. Tell me about the jurisdiction and the process there.
Yeah, so I've been working in Sweden now since 2014. I was formerly the CEO of another company developing a iron ore project. So I was in Sweden in the last role from 2014 to 2023. Successfully got a mining concession for that project. Took a little while, but Swedish permitting has gone through somewhat of a transition. And I guess if I was to capture it for your viewers today, is that both the policy environment in Europe, because of the Critical Raw Materials Act and the moves that the Swedish government are taking around support for industry, but also the mining industry, and with a firm focus on critical raw materials, is it's a really good environment. It's a refreshing environment to be operating in.
Yeah, I would second that. There's another company that I won't name that I'm very interested in this space, and they have assets, and they're in Sweden, if you would. And my conversations with the CEO is that they're going to be fast-tracked, and everything's going to be approved probably in Q4, which is really, really fast. And this has just started really since the spring and summer, if you would. Talk to me about Romania. Very interesting to me. I know nothing about mining in Romania, but a couple things that come to mind. Your costs are going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, significantly lower, and I'm assuming it would be easier to get permitted. Is that correct?
So, I joined Leading Edge just to track back a little bit. I joined Leading Edge in May of 2024, so about a year and a half in the job now, almost. And the Exploration Alliance is Leading Edge has been in Romania now since 2018. I guess, yeah, for investors, what's really exciting about Romania is we have a brownfield exploration opportunity. So it's a former mining area, uranium mining area. We have access to underground development. And as we touched on, not only do you have evidence of uranium, but you also have polymetallics, so lead, zinc, copper, silver, and some gold. And, I guess from a mining engineer's perspective, I'm not a geologist, but you're already in the guts of what you hope could be a deposit. So that's quite exciting. From a jurisdictional standpoint, we've had no challenges getting our permits. Depending on where you operate, whichever jurisdiction around the world, things take time. Mining engineers are always incredibly optimistic about permitting timeframes. You have lawyers to correct you in terms of your over-optimism. We have been able to get work done. It's not without its challenges. We're operating a former uranium area, but uranium mining area, but it's highly prospective. So interesting part of the portfolio. But I guess, my focus since I joined the company was firmly on our flagship project, which is the Norrskär Heavy Rare Earths project in Sweden.
Got it. Well, let's talk about that. What you can tell me, what do you think you have in the ground, or what do you have in the ground, or what potential do you have in the ground? Talk to me about just talk to me about a little more specifics that you can.
So the resource, as it's currently defined, is an inferred resource of 110 million tons of 0.5% total rare earth oxides. The beauty of Norrskär is that its composition out of the rare earths that are there, 52% of them are heavy rare earths. So the key ones are dysprosium and terbium, and clearly, when we talk about rare earths, and since Donald Trump came to power, everybody's been talking about rare earths. But specifically, with the state of geopolitics and the way that trade has been used as a weapon, and specifically the ability of China to restrict rare earth exports, it means that the conversations, both in, say, North America now and Europe, are around having your own strategic sources of supply. It started off as diversification away from China. I personally think that China will remain a strong trading partner of the EU, but it's very much a case of regions are looking to secure raw material supply, primary raw material supply, to their own supply chains. And when it comes to heavy rare earths in Europe, that's the permanent magnet value chain. So often are not mining projects when they get permitted. People are very much thinking about the mining project. Whereas I think in Europe, the way I look at our Norrskär project, it's the top end of a permanent magnet value chain. And there's capacity being built in the system, specifically with companies like Solvay and Carester in France. So it's quite an exciting environment to be operating in because you've got public investment taking place in the downstream. You've got a very supportive policy environment, both at the European level with the Critical Raw Materials Act, but also, as we touched on earlier, in Sweden with the direction of travel of the government. So, it's a healthy environment to be operating in. Doesn't mean it's not without its challenges. It's always tough to get a mining project permitted, but I can see building momentum going forward.
Yeah, I would echo those sentiments, especially since the new administration here in the US has come in. It's been a geopolitics set aside, and I'm happy to talk about geopolitics, but it has become an environment where each country's tr or each region, if you would, of the world is trying to secure their own cash, if you would, their own supply of rare earth minerals. And talking to all my viewers and listeners, this is an area that I'm very, very interested in. And I think this is just the beginning, not the middle or the end of this, really of this asset class. Talk to me a little bit about what really is the plan now and where you are at as far as mining and also potentially taking this into production.
So we submitted a mining lease application at the back end of last year, December 2024. That's been going through the process in Sweden now. We're optimistic that we'll get a decision in the fourth quarter. That's my timeline.
Can I interrupt you, please?
Sorry?
Can I interrupt you, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm talking just to all my viewers and listeners. This is exactly, I was talking to another CEO who has a very big project in Sweden, and that was also his expectation. It looks like, and he's very optimistic as well, that everything is being fast-tracked. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the mining lease, as it's called, the bearbetningskoncession in Swedish, is a 25-year mining lease. After that, you have to get your environmental permit. So that's clearly doing all the environmental work that's necessary to prove that you can responsibly operate the mine. But I guess looking forward, I could see that we could have the asset in production again, if everybody's moving in the same direction in a 3 to 4 year time frame. We, at the same time as we're waiting for the mining lease decision, we're also kicking off pre-feasibility study work streams. It's important to note that Norra Kärr actually has a 15-year development timeline. The first exploration licenses were acquired in 2009. This project has already been studied just for its rare earths to pre-feasibility study level. It's already had a mining lease back in 2013, but because of the vagaries of the Swedish permitting at that time and different politics and different state of geopolitics, that permit was returned to an application. And there was a complete redesign of the project in the late teens, such that there was a scoping study in 2021 to bring in industrial minerals into the commercial case for Norra Kärr. So now what we have is it's effectively a quarry. It's going to produce industrial minerals, specifically nepheline syenite, which goes into ceramics, coatings, and glass. And potentially another industrial mineral, agarine, which can go into high temperature cements or other applications. And then at the same time, it produces a mineral concentrate with the heavy rare earths in it, which will then go to a separate downstream facility. So our focus at the moment is very much on how quickly can we get this asset into production. It will then produce commercially, it'll produce industrial minerals, which can finance the development of our downstream objectives.
Got it. So that's interesting to me is that you guys are actually really close to what I mean by close, it does take a lot of time, excuse me, to build a mine. Excuse me, I'll cut all that out. Let's start over. It's very interesting to me because you guys are on your way. It looks like to building a mine. That being said, it does take a while and time to build a mine. So really my question is, what's the infrastructure look like? Where are you shipping the product? Do you have a mill? I mean, talk to me about that. Where is all this going to get processed?
So at site, we will just do mineral processing, and that will produce the products that I just mentioned. So the industrial minerals and the which will be ready to go to market, and then the heavy rare earth concentrate, which will require further processing. What we've done with the redesign of the project 6 years ago was decoupled extraction from downstream hydrometallurgy, and there'll be somewhat of a staggered probably development timeline. But that gives us the ability to get the extraction up and running, and then potentially finance the downstream development with some of the proceeds from the extraction. I also believe that there's different investor groups that are investing in downstream projects versus upstream. They see that, from their perspective, investors are looking at the diversity of options available for mine supply, mine feed. But then they see, actually, you know what? We want to build a plant that can then buy from more than one source. So, within that overall development timeline, we can see that we've got a separate business model effectively to build around the downstream, just of the eudialyte mineral concentrate. In terms of infrastructure, the Sweden is great because you can effectively plug a mine into the grid. The country is literally powered on renewables.
That's great.
And you'll see, if you drive south from where we are, I mean, you see no end of Teslas and you see no end of BYD. The last 2 times I've been to Sweden, I've been given a Volvo rental electric vehicle, XC40. So it's rare now that people are driving around in ICE vehicles. So effectively, when you talk about mobile plants and equipment and fixed plant, the opportunity is there is to electrify your entire mining project and do some of those things which were important before Russia invaded Ukraine, but ESG, having a low carbon footprint, we can plug the mine into the grid, and then next door to us is one of the major road arteries in Sweden, the E4. So we're straight onto road, and that can take us north. About 80 or so kilometers to rail, and then we're on to rail. Then you've got all the ports in the Baltic, or we can also access ports on the western side of Sweden. So really, our go-to-market logistics are there for the taking. So, from a mining jurisdiction standpoint, like a lot of places, but specifically Sweden, been mining for generations, produces most of Europe's iron ore. Long, long history. An ecosystem which includes not only mining companies, but consultants, engineers, geologists, all the support, the OEMs that provide equipment to the mining industry, Volvo specifically and others. So a great ecosystem, a lot of collaboration, a lot of innovation taking place. So, in a nutshell, it's a very cool place to develop a mining project.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. And again, I'm familiar with Sweden, but what's music to my ears is that you have an infrastructure already in place. Talking to all my viewers and listeners, typically the biggest cost is building an infrastructure. And if you have that, again, you don't have to do the raises that you have to do. You still have to raise some money to build it. But yeah, it's already all there with roads, rails, ports, and then access to electricity, in your case. So that's fantastic. Let's talk about share structure here. How much, well, before we talk about that, let's talk about cash you have in the bank. How much cash do you have in the bank, to push this thing forward right now?
We just completed the raise on the 15th. We announced on the 15th of August, we raised 2.8 million Canadian.
Okay, so you're well funded, and that will take you through until when? The end of the
Well
year?
into a good part of next year.
Good part of next year. Got it. And this money will be used for, again, just further development and more drilling, or?
No more drilling. It's specifically the prime focus. My focus is on Norrskär. So in terms of the makeup of the company at the moment, it's get that mining lease for Norrskär, all things being equal, and then work towards completion of pre-feasibility. I think with a pre-feasibility study done, we're in a very different position in terms of getting investor attention.
Yeah, got it. Okay. And let's talk about share structure here. How many shares do you have fully diluted?
Fully diluted, we got 352 million. We've got 250 million currently issued.
Got it. Where are the options? And just give me a range where the options and warrants are written at.
The options are priced at 10 to 24 cents, and the warrants are priced at 20 to 32 cents.
Okay. So where what price are you currently tr being traded at right now?
Today, just having looked before we got on the call, 18 cents in Toronto.
Got it. So options are in the money or just out of the money, and the warrants are still out of the money. Got it. Let's talk about yeah, what news that you can tell all of our viewers and listeners. What should they be aware of? Why should they pay attention over the next really next three, take us to the end of the year, next 3 to 4 months?
So looking towards the end of the year, we've got the work streams associated with the pre-feasibility study on Norrskär. We're looking at all the aspects. So we'll be keeping the market updated on what progress we're making. The big ticket item is the decision on the mining lease, and then moving into first quarter next year, completing the pre-feasibility study and be able to report that to the market. Separately to that, with Voxner, which we didn't touch on, so we have a built mine, Voxner graphite mine. With Voxner, what we announced earlier in the year, that we're looking at a potential restart of operations. And we're also within that. So we've got test work programs ongoing at the moment because the plant at Voxner was built at the end of the 90s. And so we're looking at what upgrades we might be necessary to get the right product for market, and then through that work, create a new business plan for Voxner. And what we also said in February was we're looking at downstream options. So number of discussions taking place to see whether or not there are any options to forward integrate into other downstream players, such that you create, in the same way I was talking about the permanent magnet value chain, you create something in the graphite space as well that's vertically integrated. So there should be some news flow on Voxner, and then with Romania in the short term, it's exploration, continuing exploration results from our team that's working there.
Got it. Okay. So any investors that all investors that are listening to this and they want to either purchase your stock or be in touch with you, How do they do that? How do they do that? Give me your website as well as the exchanges you're traded on, and what are your ticker symbols?
So leadingedgematerials.com. And then if you want to email the company, info@leadingedgematerials.com. And then specific in Toronto, where our ticker is LEM.V, so LEM.V. And then in Sweden, it's LEMSE, LEMSE.
Got it. I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on the YouTube channel, the Apple and Spotify podcasts. Kurt, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking forward to following this story. As of right now, just to all my viewers and listeners, I am not an investor, but they are on my list for my portfolio, for my critical minerals, really my space in my portfolio. I want to thank you so much for your time, Kurt, and hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks very much, Andy.